Well, as I indicated, we're going to, over the next three Sundays, be looking at this small book of Obadiah, a prophet of Judah, who in this prophecy is prophesying against the Edomites. These were the descendants of Esau, and they lived in the mountainous region to the southeast of the Dead Sea. One of the principal towns of this region is the city of Petra, and many of you will have seen pictures of the city of Petra, these enormous buildings that were literally carved into the rocks of the mountainside. And here then were a people who lived some 5,000 metres or so above sea level, high in the hills and the mountains, in impregnable fortresses, cut off from the tribes that lived in the lowlands. They felt themselves invincible. There they lived up with the eagles in the mountains. And Obadiah prophesies against these people, these descendants of Esau, who have grown to be a proud, a strong, a self-sufficient people. They were the people who had turned their backs on God, turned their backs on God's people. Some of you who are familiar with the Old Testament scriptures will remember that as the children of Israel, the Israelites made their progress through the wilderness and made their way towards the promised land, that it was the people of Edom who stood in their way and refused to allow them to pass through. In the book of Numbers and chapter 20, we read in verse 14, "Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." Then Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword." So the children of Israel said to him, "We will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." Then he said, "You shall not pass through." So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Those were the sorts of people that the descendants of Esau had become. Furious at Israel for stealing the birthright, for deceiving their father and taking all the blessing. Here was Esau's descendants, adamant that Israel would receive no help from them whatsoever. And it wasn't much different in the day of Obadiah. The Edomites had seen what had happened in Israel, how the nation had been torn in two, how the 10 northern tribes of Israel had eventually been taken into captivity by the Assyrians. They had also looked on as the Babylonians had overwhelmed the Assyrians and become the superpower of the times. And they had seen how the small nation of Judah, those two tribes in the southern part of the Israelite area there in Palestine, had become overwhelmed by the Babylonians and we've been taken into captivity. So Obadiah is prophesying at about the same time as Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who prophesied to the people of Judah and foretold of the end of the 70 years of captivity and the time when they would be restored to their nation. Obadiah, prophesying at the same time, prophesying against Israel's brother, against this tribe of Edom, the descendants of Esau, who stood there proud in their strongholds in the mountains above Judah, laughing to scorn those who had been taken into captivity. We are strong. We are mighty. We can stand on our own two feet. We don't need this God that you followed, this God of Jacob, this God who allowed you to take our birthright, to receive our blessing. We don't need this God. We're strong. We've fortified ourselves. We've built our cities that are impregnable. We've made our fortune with our vineyards. We need none of what you have. You can have your low valleys. You can have your fertile lands. You can have your cities that you did not build. Because this God whom you serve has sent you into captivity. We don't need that kind of God. And here are the people of Edom, growing proud in their self-sufficiency. See three ways that Obadiah's prophecy describes the pride of these people. In verse 3, they're told, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" Yes, they had built their cities literally into the mountainside. They had carved their edifices. They had made themselves their strongholds. They thought themselves out of reach of any enemy. They prided themselves in their amazing engineering skills. They were proud of their strength and their isolation. Secondly, we're told in verse 5, "If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings?" Here were a people who knew prosperity. Even up there in the mountains, they had planted their vineyards and had grown prosperous as a result. And Obadiah gives this prophecy and describes a situation where robbers did happen to make it into their strongholds. And he says, well, they would have just taken enough that they could carry. They wouldn't have stripped the place bare. They wouldn't have taken everything. They would have taken the valuable things that they could find easily, and then they would have got out of there as quickly as possible. And there would have been things left. They wouldn't have stripped away all your treasures. And if grape gatherers had come, if people had come stealing the grapes off your vines, well, they would have taken the grape clusters that were within reach. They would have taken perhaps the best, but they would have left some. There would have been some to be gleaned. They wouldn't have taken everything. These were what they put their trust in their riches, in their wealth, as well as in their strength and their isolation. They had become proud of these things. And they knew, even if these unlikely situations came to pass, even if they were overrun, they would still be left with something. They had that much. There was enough for marauders to come and still leave them with plenty. And there's a third way that these people had become proud. They were proud of their alliances as well. In verse 7, we're told, "All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you. Those who eat bread shall lay a trap for you. Here are three descriptions of those who they have formed alliances with. There was a confederacy. Yes, here were the Edomites in their mountain fortresses. But they had made alliances with some of the tribes in the areas round about. They weren't entirely alone. They didn't think they needed these alliances, but wisdom dictated that they ought to have some friends around them. They had the people that they were at peace with as well, who weren't their enemies. They might not be their friends, but they weren't their enemies. There was no turmoil there. There was no difficulty. It wasn't like India and Pakistan looking across the river valley, wondering who was going to attack first. These were a people at peace. And they had their companions as well. Those who eat your bread is a phrase in the Hebrew that meant companions. They sit at your table. They share your food. They have these alliances in which they trust. They've got their great fortresses in which they feel safe. They have their vineyards, they have their treasures, they're prosperous. And they have people that they can rely on, people that are their friends, people that they're at peace with, people that they've formed alliances with. Here are the Edomites, and they seem to be a people who are completely beyond the reach of any kind of disaster. They stand firm in their own strength. They're proud in their own self-sufficiency. The pride of your heart, God says, has deceived you. You think you're safe. But here's what Obadiah's heard. Here's the message that they've heard. We've heard a report from the Lord. A messenger has been sent out among the nations saying, arise, let us rise up against Edom for battle. This is God's messenger that's gone out. God is raising a force that will attack Edom. And he's going to attack them in these three areas that they have become so proud in. Firstly, God's going to seek them out and destroy them, even in their high places. Look what he says there. In verse 3, he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, in those ornately carved fortresses. You whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring us down to the ground? God says, though you ascend as high as the eagle, even if you went right up to the peaks of the mountains, even though you made your homes in those highest crags, though you set your nest among the stars, even if you could get that high, I will bring you down, says the Lord. There may be no nation on earth that can reach your fortresses. There may be no power in this world that can stretch out its hand against you. But I can, says the Lord. You think you're beyond my reach, but I will come against you. Here were a people who were proud in their might. It has echoes of the people at Babel, doesn't it? Those people who had decided to build that great tower. By their own strength they would reach the heavens. And God brought confusion to their ranks and scattered them throughout the world. And since that time we've been battling against the confusion that the different languages have brought to this world. God will attack them even in their strength and isolation. verses 8 and 9. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Though your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Even their greatest generals, even their mighty men, even the men who have worked out all the logistics of battle, their wise men, even they will not be able to save this people when God strikes against them. The second area that God's going to attack them is in their prosperity. If thieves had come against you, if robbers by night, would they not have stolen till they had enough and left the rest? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. This God is going to come against this people, and he will not rest. He will search out their hidden treasures. He will keep going until he has stripped them naked of everything that they hold precious. Nothing will stand in his way. Nothing will prevent him from bringing utter destruction against the people of Edom who have raised up their heads in their pride. And thirdly, God will attack them using their own friends, their own confederates, the people that they were at peace with. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Even those, your companions who eat your bread, shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. No one knows. No one in Edom has a clue that they are in so much danger, even from their friends and their allies. Everyone is going to turn against the people of Edom. This report has gone out. The messenger of God has gone among the nations. Arise. Let us rise up against her for battle. And these things did happen. And the Edomites were driven out from the mountains. And their riches were taken away. And their friends and allies turned against them. And Edom was destroyed by the power of God. And those who go now to the city of Petra and see those ornate carvings, those buildings built into the mountainside itself, say, what an empty, desolate place is Edom today. There's nothing there. Because God rose up against this people who had become so proud. Writer of the Proverbs says, pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And here were these people of Edom who had turned their backs on God, the God of their fathers, as much as the God of the fathers of Israel. Esau and Jacob had the same father, had the same grandfather. And yet they turned their back on that God and turned their back on his people, their own brothers, and poured scorn on them as they were dragged away into captivity. But their destruction came to them. They fell too. Because no one can stand against God. No one can say, I don't need God. I can do it myself. I have power myself. I can stand myself. I have everything I need myself. I can make my own alliances. I can choose my own friends. I can get my own riches. I can be stand tall in my own strength. I do not need this God. And people who have such an attitude, and there's plenty of people today who share this same attitude, they too will be brought to destruction. They too will fall from that position of security and self-satisfaction. And perhaps some of you who sit here this morning are among that number. You've come here perhaps Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you've heard the message of the gospel, and you've been told that you will be destroyed unless you turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And you've been warned against the coming destruction, and you've stood back and you've said, no, I don't need this Jesus. Not yet anyway. I've got my own wisdom, my own understanding. I've got my own way of doing things, and I don't need this gospel message that gets preached here. And I don't need to follow the God of my father and mother. And I don't need to bow to the message of the Bible. I'm doing okay by myself. Thank you very much. Well, so said the people of Edom. And it brought them to destruction. And the warning goes out. Don't be self-satisfied. Don't be people who are proud in your own understanding, in your own strength, in your own abilities, in the friendships that you have formed. Because if you reject this God, he is against you. If you don't have this God on your side, he's in the opposing forces. It's not just the people out in the world, you see, who stand against God. It's not just the people who never show their face in a church, who will change the subject as soon as the name of Jesus is mentioned, except in blasphemy. It's not just those people who stand in the position of the Edomites. It's people who hear the gospel regularly and who yet turn their backs on Jesus. It's the sort of people who come to meetings like this and sit there in these seats week after week and are told that they are sinners but will not admit it. They're the people who are like the Edomites. And God says, the pride of your heart deceives you. You think your sins are not that bad. You think that there's enough goodness in you to pass you with God. You think that you have enough treasure to buy a place in the kingdom of heaven. You think you have friends and allies that can exert enough of an influence upon this God. My friends, take care. The Lord God who destroyed Edom promises to destroy all those who resist him. And yet you can take comfort from this, that it's not yet too late. Destruction hasn't come yet. You sit here this morning. Remember the Apostle Paul? How for years he spent his life destroying the church. And yet God came to him in mercy. God heard his cry and saved him. he who could describe himself as the chief of sinners. And he can save you this morning if you will turn from your pride and acknowledge your sin and your need of Jesus Christ's righteousness. God can save you. So will you come to him this morning? Will you confess your sins to him this morning? And will you find salvation in Jesus Christ this morning?